show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Glad to have you along with us on this, actually, kind of a little bit of a stormy-looking day here in Southwest Florida. It's been nice all day, hot and humid and all that sort of thing, but as is the case usually at this time of day, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, we usually get our little rain shower for a few minutes, and it goes away, and the sunshine comes back out again. Here I am doing weather again. Hope it's nice where you are as well. I know it's hot in most places. We've had a really hot summer, particularly along the East Coast. Well, not particularly. Gee whiz, clear up in Idaho, it's been over 100 degrees. In Montana, it's been over 100 degrees. Many places have had very severe weather this summer. But there's no global warming. Do keep that in mind. There is no global warming. How are you doing today? I'm a little bit in a little bit of a funky mood today myself. A little bit, I don't know, a little bit maybe under the weather, tired, didn't get enough sleep for the past few nights, and just kind of generally feeling run down. So I'm going to have to crank it up here. I need about 4 or 5 cans of that. What is it? That Red Bull. That's what I need. 4 or 5 cans of that to perk me up a little bit. Then I wouldn't sleep for 2 days. I'm one of those people quit using caffeine quite a few years ago. And man, when I do have some nowadays, it really does a number on me. So I try and avoid caffeine all I can. But gosh, it would be a good day to have some right now. How you doing today, huh? See, we're looking at the weather out in the Atlantic Ocean, and of course all the local weathermen starting to go crazy already. There's a little tropical storm or tropical depression or whatever, David, Danny, whatever it's called. It's a D something. 2,700 miles away. Wouldn't be here till next week, if at all, if it didn't turn before then. And already the local weathermen go, it could happen. It could happen. Well, yeah, it could. It could. But I will tell you one thing. We do not need that again around here this year. We just celebrated, I think it was, the third anniversary of our last hurricane. And we do not need another one. It'd be just another reason for the insurance companies to jack up those rates again and drive even more people away from here. That's probably part of the reason I'm in a funky mood. I don't know how it is where you live. There are certain pockets of the country that are very depressed right now, and this is one of them here in Southwest Florida. At least amongst all the average people. We have the ultra-rich here that live in Naples, Florida, and over on the islands and so forth with the homes that nowadays are commonplace in the tens, 20s, 30s millions of dollars. Very, very common. They're buying homes that sell for $4 and $5 million to next door to one another, tearing them down and using both lots to build a big new home. So that's the kind of that's the way it is going here. But the economy is not good. Traveling is not what it was. The snowbirds didn't come down in the numbers that they normally do this past year. Therefore, the economy is somewhat depressed. And that makes the people here depressed, the people that live here year-round. And I know it's that way. I hear from many of you throughout the country, people that live in the industrial north in Flint, Michigan, and Toledo, Ohio, for example, Hammond, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, over in there, Pittsburgh, Aliquippa, Youngstown, over in the great, well, I guess pretty much they call it the Rust Belt nowadays. But jobs are down. Pay is down, and there's a general malaise that has taken over the country, and it's making it difficult for a lot of people. And as we spoke about it last week, the great middle class is suffering tremendously. And we have what many people, I just got a letter today from a guy, and I felt so bad reading it, a guy with a college degree, has a decent job. Working in the biomedical field, you would think, ooh, that's a big paying job. It is not. And he's a single parent, got a couple of kids, and trying to raise them, and with the college degree and all, still is what I would call the working poor. Worked just enough to put groceries, makes just enough to put groceries, pay the insurance, pay the rent, and all that each week. So many, many people are toiling very, very hard nowadays, working lots of hours and not making enough money to keep their heads up above water. So I guess we should be thankful for everybody that is making it. And of course, we hear all the stories, and I was just reminded in New Orleans that things are still bad in New Orleans. Many people never moved back there. They're just pockets all over the country where the economic news is very depressing. What are we going to talk about today? Well, let me tell you one thing. We have a guest coming up at 3:30 there or thereabouts. We have Rick Perlstein from Campaign for America's Future, and Rick's going to talk about his latest article. Talking about Karl Rove. we couldn't let the day go by without talking about Karl Rove. I know the subject was beat to death yesterday, but having not been on yesterday, we've got to get our 2 cents in about that, and we will. We'll talk about it throughout the day, and if you'd like to talk about it, of course, you can call us, and we hope you do at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. And if you have your own unlimited calling plan, you can give us a call at 941-876-6896. We'd love to hear from you. And again, Rick Perlstein will be with us right around 3:30, and we'll hash over the Karl Rove story. See if old Karl was as successful as a lot of people would like to say. I wanted to take a quick look here at the Dow Jones average. I looked at it just a few moments ago. Oh, it took a big jump here in the past 10 minutes. It was down 193 points, and now it's down only 150 points. So it's coming back and coming back fast. We'll see if that holds out throughout the rest of the day. Does the stock market affect you? I mean, I know it has an effect on all of us, but does it affect you directly? Do you have investments? Do you have a fund where you work? Do you watch what the Dow Jones does every day? Does it mean anything to you? Because to the average guy, it really doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot these days. The market's doing fairly well, although it's dropped nearly 1,000 points here in the last week or so, 2 weeks maybe. But they keep saying the economy is strong. I'll believe it when I see it, and I'm not seeing it right now. Are you? And of course, we've got the latest news coming out of Iraq, which I'm a little bit concerned about the Democrats that are running for office. Have you noticed how the Democrats are kind of easing into a new position? Have you noticed that? We're no longer talking about getting out and getting out now. We're kind of like got that, well, maybe we'll just pull back the troops to the border and leave a peacekeeping force in Iraq instead of pulling them out. They've kind of gotten that attitude now. Have you noticed that? I have. It's gradual. I guess they think we won't notice, but it's a trend that's taking place, and I really do hate that. I see Don Imus has settled with CBS. Imagine that. $20 million was what I heard. The latest thing I heard that he's getting out of him. $20 million off of a $40 million contract he had left. He was going to sue him for $120 million. So, and he's going to be back on the airwaves soon is also what I hear. I hear he's negotiating a contract with WABC. So there's a poke in the eye for CBS, I guess. Another one. What else? I figured this was some interesting news today. Rupert Murdoch just finished off buying the Wall Street Journal, and now he's got his eye on the New York Times. And people think we don't need any regulation going on in this country again. He owns the Washington Times. He owns Fox News. He owns, my God, who knows how much... he owns MySpace. Rupert Murdoch owns far too much of the media. And now he's got his eye on the New York Times as well. And I think that is just beyond the pale. But you know how it goes. If he offers enough money, they'll sell it to him. And then he'll have a lock on the New York newspapers. It's not right, but that's the way it is. And, of course, the latest news out of Iraq, are you becoming convinced that things are better in Iraq? Is the surge working, do you think? Finally, is it working? I don't know. I see a lot of indications that, the various factions fighting one another are taking care of one another. And I think the Shiites and the Sunnis have killed one another off in some of the areas to the point where there isn't a whole lot of violence left because they've gotten the opposite side dead. So, and we'll talk about that among other things today. Let's do something a little unusual. Let's go to the phones already today. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Don't you know that our economy is the envy of the world?
Well, that's what they say.
That's what your leader says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Among other foolish things.
We're supposed to...
No, I wanted to talk about Karl Rove.
Yes.
I have my little prediction or whatever. He's going to be working on somebody's campaign. They'll work Jeb Bush into it. And it probably will be Mitt, because Mitt is he's a Mormon and so is Karl Rove. And... So, Karl Rove has actually said that he would consider Jeb Bush as the vice president. And the way that Mitt Romney, you know, the things that he says, he's about as intelligent as the one we got now.
Well, yeah.
And maybe a little more dangerous because he doesn't mean it. I think the other one means it sometime, and I don't think this one is just all political.
Well, he's Rove is Bush's brain. Maybe he's I guess that means the brains are completely gone out of the White House. And Romney scares me. I don't think there's been a bigger phony run.
Oh yeah,
for the presidency.
And be more and more every day.
Yes,
you heard about him and his dog.
On the family trip. Yes. Yes,
yeah. And his sons, they're working for his campaign.
Yeah, and that's just as important as serving to a war hawk like himself.
He just says stuff left and right. He's just like Bush.
Well, he is, but the press has not taken him to task for it. He's been getting away with it a lot.
Well, of course not. Then do they ever?
Well, that's that.
They have to talk about $400 haircuts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so anyway, I just think that there's just a bunch of baloney attached to that him resigning. You know, how can you trust people who lie all the time?
Well, I think there's more to it than this. He might be retiring because getting out of there because he has to. He has to make some money because of some legal bills, legal bills that are piling up. He might be heading out to do the dirty work politically that he ordinarily couldn't do if he's inside the White House, and I think that's probably the case.
Well, you know, this is a kind of a what you call it, parable wise. When is the Pharaoh going to let God's people go?
Yeah. Well,
think about it.
I hope we get out from underneath this.
I know it. Every time it seems like we're getting somewhere, we get the rug pulled out from under. And I know what you're saying about the malaise feeling. I felt the same way. It's something you just can't put your finger on. It's kind of, it's almost a hopelessness.
Yeah,
you know,
and I see it.
Anything is going to be done for us, you know.
And I see it every day. I see it every
yeah.
day. I see it in the faces of people I know. I see it in the faces of people. I see it businesses. You can feel it. It's palpable. And it's
we've had so many disappointments.
Yeah.
You know, and then the people that we elected to do something about it have let us down.
Yeah,
in
sure
many, many ways.
They sure have.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to thank you for your call.
Okay, though.
Good to
bye-bye.
Hear from you. Yeah, speaking about the good old press and Fox News, did you hear O'Reilly? How do they get away with this? Really, how do they get away with this? And how is it that the mainstream media isn't all over this when one of their own, Bill O'Reilly, one of the most listened to people in the country, lies through his teeth day after day, and we're not alleging that he's lying. There's the absolute proof coming out of his own mouth, talking about how, we haven't said anything about John Edwards. I'll let him explain it himself. Here's Bill O'Reilly.
I mean, this is by far and away the highest rated cable news outfit, okay? And we're growing while the others are disintegrating. Why do they want to make enemies, particularly a guy like John Edwards, who was treated very well here? 33 times he was on us, and we pored over the transcripts. There's never one time that this guy was unfairly treated while he was on his network. Why do they want to do that?
What do you have in common with John Edwards?
I can't imagine anything.
And the truth about John Edwards. It isn't pretty.
Edwards is running a preposterous campaign.
I love it when you wade in on Edwards because, to me, the guy is just an overly coiffed pillar of dim. He makes Clifford Irving look like Sir Thomas More. And if you say you can't see through that guy, like use Neutrogena.
But you should know that $400 for a haircut is expensive any day. Because Americans have a way of seeing through double talk. They also have a way of seeing through something worse, far, far worse. Phonies.
There are two Americas, those who buy Edwards and those who think he's a complete phony.
Now, Talking Points tries to respect all of those who want to serve their country, but Edwards is an exception. I have no respect for him.
You can't put the rib kick in on John Edwards enough for me, because that is an empty vessel.
Let's run the video, which I think is the funniest video that YouTube has ever put up here.
Yes, and your
John
friend
Edwards
Michelle Malkin
has
it on her site, too.
On the set, getting ready for an interview. This goes on for 5 minutes, the primping of the hair over and over and over again. And meanwhile, you know, when you juxtapose those images that go on forever with the images that we have out today that came, this Al-Qaeda manual that talks about drilling hands, severing limbs, dragging people behind cars. He is an intellectual lightweight.
Senator Edwards isn't smart enough. Edwards is going nowhere. His strategy is killing him. John Edwards looks dopey. He's a phony.
A complete phony.
Yeah, he is
maybe,
a phony.
Maybe
we
I would
know
listen
him.
Again.
We know him, and he is. And that's too bad. I'm sorry I have to say that.
I have nothing against John Edwards. He seems intelligent and sincere.
There you have it from Bill O'Reilly, from his own mouth. first saying that, gosh, we've pored over our records and we can find nothing on Fox where we've disparaged this man whatsoever. And then you hear him and a host of others on Fox cutting Edwards down from one end to the other over petty things, over his haircut. So how do they get away with that? And if you're a Fox News listener, if you listen to Fox, how do you justify that, hearing Bill O'Reilly say that on one hand and then hearing the truth on the other, the undeniable truth, I might add? It fascinates me. It really does. I don't know how they get away with this, but I guess when your audience, and they know who their audience is, when their audience is just plain stupid, as the Fox audience is, and you know I'm not whistling Dixie when I say that. We've given you time after time surveys of Fox listeners and what they believe has been in the news and what they believe about the war situation and what they believe about the reasons for going to war, what they believe about George W. Bush. We've shown you survey after survey where it's been proven that the people least informed are the listeners to Fox News. And if it's by design that they want to be the least informed, then they're just plain stupid. And if they're that easily duped, then they're just plain stupid. So let's just tell it how it is. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Shook it up. Nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground. And by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sounds I hear in my mind. All of these voices I hear in my mind. All of these words I hear in my mind. All this music, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart. When it breaks my heart. Suppose I never ever met you. Suppose we never.
Regina Spektor. Love that song. I really do. She's a cute little thing. I get a kick out of the video with that particular song. Not really one that's into videos, as you probably well know by now, but I do get a charge out of that little gal. She's a very good entertainer. Very good. Coming up just... what do we got? About 3 minutes till the bottom of the hour. We'll get Rick Perlstein on here and talk about his latest article concerning Mr. Karl Rove. Mr. Karl Rove, I tell you, we're going to miss him, aren't we? Of course, I don't think he's going very far. But Rick wrote a great article in for TomPaine.com, and we'll let Rick explain it when he gets on here. Picked up some interesting information about this latest warrantless wiretapping deal that was passed in the Congress. Disapprove all people, Democrats, Republicans, everybody. 73% of the American people disapprove of that. 60% strongly disapprove. Democrats, 87% disapprove. Republicans, 51% disapprove. And 36% of Republicans even strongly disapprove. So it's very, very interesting that the Congress went ahead with that anyway. Not all that unusual, though, would you say? They don't care. They don't give a damn what the American public thinks about anything. They're going to go ahead and do what they think they want to do. And in this case, what George Bush wants to do. And that's how it is. And I guess we have to learn to live with that. Well, we're going to take a moment or so and get a hold of our guest. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Neon jigs staring at the ceiling, the stars above the radar range. A song from a station wagon laying foundations on the shadows of overpassing plains. Well, I'm feeling good. 7 o'clock, we're gonna drive across the county line. Find Saturday night like an orphan child with the good days left behind. Well, I'm not sure we can stay. The sun's going down and it's another day. Me and
And welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us here today. It's kind of stormy where we are today. I hope it's sunshining and beautiful where you are. Anyway, we've got with us, our, as promised, our guest right now, Rick Perlstein. Rick is with the Campaign for America's Future. He's written an article about, well, the reason we contacted Rick today, about an article he wrote for Tom Paine. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. Good to be back.
Are you at all surprised about Karl Rove saying goodbye to the White House for now?
Yeah, I was initially surprised. I mean, it took me a while to think through what might be going on. But, you know, the idea that Bush is nothing without Rove is, you know, it's been a pretty reasonable assumption for a long time. And, you know, as you know from the Tom Paine article, where I'm ending up kind of going with this is, you know, maybe this isn't really a divorce between Bush and Rove after all.
Well, how so? How do you mean that?
Well, I've been studying the latest Nixon tapes. I don't know if you know, I'm a historian.
That's what I wanted to get at. I know you are, and I know our audience is going to wonder how is he associating this with the Richard Nixon deal? And
I'll get to how close the associations are between Rove and Nixon very quickly. But first, I'll just, you know, make the kind of an argument more by analogy than actual direct ties. The argument by analogy is I've been studying the new Nixon tapes that were released, and there's a long conversation right after the 1972 election between Nixon and, you know, his nut cutting enforcer Chuck Colson. Can I say that on the radio?
Yeah, you can say that.
And you know, they're basically discussing, you know, how they're going to basically keep their ruthless capacity in action after the election and into the next term, now that, you know, all the fire is being trained on the plumbers and Watergate and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And basically the plan they come up with, although it's kind of explained pretty obliquely and I'd like to research it more, was Colson was going to, you know, set up an independent consultancy outside the White House, you know, declare that he was, you know, done working for Richard Nixon, but basically work for the White House nonetheless. And, you know, just some of the stuff they're talking about was, you know, he would basically create this polling firm that would have kind of plausible deniability, but would really be run by the White House. They could kind of manufacture their own polls, whatever, whatever, whatever. You know, that he would do the same kind of stuff, you know, intimidating the press. And what would happen was he would basically be able to do the stuff he was doing in the White House, coordinated with the White House, but make it a lot easier not to get caught. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that Karl Rove is going to be setting up fake polls or anything like that. He'll just do the same stuff he always does, which is, you know, basically come up with, you know, sort of bottom-feeding, vulture-like strategies to divide America and destroy the liberals and the Democrats and keep going the rule of, you know, the Republican right. Although, whether he has the skills to do that is a fascinating open question, and whether this isn't just kind of more hubris on his part is an interesting question too.
Well, I think it is, and I have to think that Bush isn't necessarily in on that, because I don't think Bush has necessarily been a friend to the Republican Party as
yeah, that's an interesting thing too, and that's actually a very fascinating kind of Nixon tie too, which is that basically in his second presidential run, he caught the Republican Party adrift and just started caring about his own kind of political fortunes. And you know, in a lot of ways, where Nixon is at is exactly the same way. I mean, there's an amazing, amazing article about Rove that, by a great coincidence, just came out in the Atlantic Monthly website by a really good journalist named Joshua Green. And he points out that Rove, kind of in his hubris, kind of no kind of intention, basically put every Republican congressman in this terrible spot by forcing them to kind of hug to Bush in every instance, even as he put up this kind of legislation, like, for example, you know, the idea of Social Security privatization, that would kill them politically. So, you know, he's been no good for the Republican Party. He's, you know, actually, you know, managed to turn a 90% approval president to a 25% approval president. But that doesn't mean that Bush, who, as we know, still thinks that he's going to go down in history as Abraham Lincoln, doesn't look at Rove as still this, you know, noble servant of his ambitions.
Well, because even Bush, as we know, thinks that the jury's still out on George Washington. So that's one of the more fascinating statements I think I heard the guy say. But yeah, the idea to me that there's going to be some sort of a nefarious plot with Bush and Rove doing dirty tricks out of the White House that they won't be accountable for, you know, inside the White House. Karl Rove maybe, but I have to think Bush is cut loose from that now and doesn't give a damn.
What? It may be that, you know, he's just going to be interested in, you know, basically trying to win back the House of the Republican Party, doing really what he does best, which is kind of look at individual local races and really kind of dope out, you know, exactly what kind of hatreds he can push in individual electorates to get the Republican candidate to 51%. I mean, I think the most important, this is all speculation, right? I mean, we're just, no one knows what's happening. All we know is that he's not, you know, it doesn't make much sense that he's, you know, spending much time with his family, considering that his only child is now in college, you know. So, I mean, I wouldn't want my dad to say he was going to spend more time with me when I was in college, you know. But what we do know, and what I think is really important to take away from this discussion as we talk about Karl Rove and George Bush's legacy, is that, in fact, Karl Rove really is the kind of direct lineal tie between the Republican Party of the Watergate era and the Republican Party of the Bush era. I mean, well, he started as a guy who was, you know, stealing elections for the Republican Party in 1970, and that brought him to the attention of the Republican National Committee chair at the time, who was George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, what was it? He went and passed out a bunch of leaflets to...
great story. He was working for a Republican campaign for a state treasurer against a fellow named Al Dixon, who eventually became a senator from Illinois. And what he did was he posed as a Dixon campaign worker, stole some of the stationery, which is one of the big things that the Nixon, then this word I can't use, rat effers he did, you know, in the 1972 presidential election. And he printed up 1,000 invitations that claimed that this hoity-toity reception for Al Dixon was open to the public and that there'd be free beer and broads. And he circulated it to basically the hippie communes of Chicago and kind of the hobo, you know, the corners where hobos and homeless people circulated. And so this distinguished black tie Democratic event was set upon by these ne'er-do-wells, and it didn't help Al Dixon's campaign. And that was thus Karl Rove was born. I mean, this is what you have to do in order to, you know, rise to the high positions of the Republican Party.
That's the kind of thing that gets you noticed. Lucianne Goldberg type events.
Goldberg. Isn't it just amazing how many people who were the worst actors in the Watergate era?
Oh yeah.
You know, come back as respected Republican figures. I mean, just to remind the listeners what you're talking about. Lucianne Goldberg had a job working for the Nixon administration, pretending to be a journalist, and basically sabotaging Democratic campaigns on behalf of Richard Nixon as a fake journalist.
Yeah, and just to be fair here, we don't want to imply that no Democrats have ever done that either. I'm sure it's happened.
Well, it's not that no Democrats have done that. It's just that we don't make them, you know, the chief political counselors in our
right.
White House.
They don't end up being our political heroes.
Yeah, I was on with Lars Larson, a right-wing radio host based in Portland. He's like, oh, well, what about Saul Alinsky? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, Saul Alinsky never did any campaign that wasn't based in some small neighborhood in Chicago.
Right.
You know, they never made, you know, Saul Alinsky the White House chief of staff, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit of a different. Lars, I would hope you could have done better than that, really.
Lars also asked me what was wrong with looking through your opponent's garbage.
That's right. Rove gave lessons on how to look through garbage, didn't he?
Yeah, that was in 1972. He was caught on tape. Basically, the RNC hired him as a trainer to train people how to, quote-unquote, win elections. And he was caught on tape saying, well, here's how you look through the garbage, especially look for canceled checks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And so Lars actually said that. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? He said law enforcement officers do it.
Oh, well.
And, you know, since the Republicans basically see themselves as kind of the extension of, the public will and the public good, you know, they don't see any distinction.
Well, let me ask you, doesn't Karl have his own legacy to try and fulfill here, or or protect, because he has not fulfilled his legacy of building a lasting Republican dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, he really had this kind of crazy goal, which is that kind of single-handedly, through sheer force of will, he'd create this permanent Republican majority. And, you know, that just doesn't happen in America. You can't kind of snap your fingers and wish such a thing into existence. I mean, it's kind of like snapping your fingers and wishing into existence, you know, Iraqi democracy, you know. But, you know, this is the kind of hubris that he's subject to. And, you know, yeah, he tried. He failed. That'll always be a blot in his escutcheon. You know, all he can do is, you know, keep on being a Republican operative, or, you know, write his little memoir, which I think is probably just going to be a way to, you know, launder money into his pocket while he actually works for, you know, the continued fortunes of the Republican Party. And, you know, he's basically a liar. You know, he'll tell you that, you know, actually, you know, Bush did quite well, that history will vindicate him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, maybe he'll go to his grave thinking that he did great things anyway.
Well, all of a sudden I'm going blank here, but yeah, if you don't think he's a liar, ask the former White House, the guy that had the job before Tony Snow did.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Carl, and Carl told me that he didn't have anything to do with that Valerie Plame thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're talking about a White House that actually hires a press secretary whose name is Snow, you know, and his job is to snow people, you know, you got to wonder. I mean, I'm talking about hubris, and that's it, you know, all over.
I have to hand it to him. He's the perfect guy for him. He's hubris is plus, and Tony Snow. I guess if I were a big shot Republican, he'd be my man. He's as good a spinner. Well, the condescending way he does it is just turns me off so much, but I can just tell they're getting off on it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of sneering. You bore me, you know, you and your petty little objections.
Oh, yes.
Bore me.
You people that have been in the press forever and ever, Helen and the rest of you, please go away. Do you think there's anything, as long as we're speculating here, do you think there's anything to the fact that Carl's got to get out of the White House and go make some money to pay some legal bills for what may be coming up on maybe this Jack Abramoff thing?
That's a perfectly reasonable theory. I mean, I think there's a lot behind that. You know, maybe the Jack Abramoff, you know, maybe the U.S. attorneys thing.
We hear that Abramoff has been talking.
Yeah, and you know, like a jail's a bitch, as they say. And there's also the Office of Special Counsel is looking into this crazy politicization of the non-political jobs in the federal bureaucracy. You know, Rove going from agency to agency with this little slideshow telling them exactly what they had to do to help the Republican candidates in their districts. And, you know, that's illegal. And, you know, there's all kinds of smoking guns. And so that's, you know, there's an interlocking set of jeopardies that he is under.
And plus we have the interesting setup now. I've heard a lot of people speculating on this about he'll lose his executive privilege coverage. That isn't exactly true, because Harriet Myers is gone, and she's still hiding under the executive privilege umbrella.
No, I mean, executive privilege, according to these guys, you know, which is, of course, debatable, you know, extends to any conversation that anyone had, you know, when they were in the White House. You know, I would love to talk to a really smart lawyer, you know, defense lawyer, basically, and say, you know, what kind of legal protections does being outside the government give him? But don't forget, you know, that his original scam was, you know, running all his email through the Republican National Committee instead of the White House. And, you know, that didn't work anymore.
Whoa.
So, you know, now he has to kind of remove himself bodily from the White House. You know, maybe that'll work.
Well, now you see the entire RNC is going for the umbrella coverage of executive privilege. They want to hide it all now. I just was reading that today.
I could apply for it, too, if they're going to go that far.
Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry, officer. You know, I was going 90 miles an hour, but I did have a conversation with George Bush in a rope line.
Yeah, absolutely. We should try that. We should definitely try that. Rick, you've been out and about lately. Are you doing any speaking gigs coming up soon? What's on your calendar?
I've just been glued to this here leather couch where I do my blogging for weeks and weeks. Anyone in Chicago actually can check me out Thursday night at the Bookseller, which is on the north side of Chicago. I'm going to be doing a reading with some of my friends based on a pamphlet I put out in 2004 called How the Democrats Can Once Again Become America's Dominant Political Party. But, you know, they don't need my advice. They're doing it anyway.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
The engines of history are pushing that way.
With a lot of help from the Republicans. Your site?
Ourfuture.org/thebigcon.
Okay. Okay. Well, Rick, thanks so much for being on. We've got your friend and cohort, Robert Borsage, is going to be on with us tomorrow. And,
he's such a great man.
He is, and well-spoken.
And signs my paychecks.
He's a really great man, then. I didn't know he actually signed a check, so there you go.
Well, the accountant does.
Yeah.
Give my best to Bobby.
Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it, as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Take care.
Rick Perlstein, ladies and gentlemen, and what he doesn't know about Karl Rove isn't worth knowing, I guess, so... always an interesting guy. And, yes, we will have Robert Borsage on to from Campaign for America's Future to be on tomorrow. I guess tomorrow. I'm not sure what time that's going to be for sure. But he will be with us tomorrow. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to give us a call here at the Guy James Show. And we'll be back in just a minute.
You know, So rarely is the question asked, is our children learning? And find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling. Why don't you volunteer? Why don't you help mentor a child how to read? And you're working hard to put food on your family.
I think we ought to raise the age at which juveniles can have a gun.
Families is where our nation finds hope, where wings take dream.
What you can do to help is you can love a neighbor just like you'd like to be loved yourself.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
It's your money. You paid for it.
In my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the rest of your life of service to America. That's what I asked. I said 4,000 hours.
That's not good enough for America. 10th is 10 spots too low.
Can't living with the bill means it won't become law.
The legislature's job is to write law. It's the executive branch job to interpret law.
Because they want the federal government controlling the Social Security like it's some kind of federal program.
Well, I understand that the unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region.
You see, free nations are peaceful nations. Free nations don't attack each other. Free nations don't develop weapons of mass destruction.
For a century and a half now, America and Japan have formed one of the great and enduring alliances of modern times.
Africa is a nation that suffers from incredible disease. I think war is a dangerous place.
It'll take time to restore chaos.
One of history's worst tyrants. And in so doing, we not only freed the American people, we made our own people more secure. Not one doubt in my mind that we will fail.
I didn't realize I had dyslexia.
Tariffs and barriers everywhere are torn down.
In order for us to get the groundwork to discuss a framework for peace, to lay the...
All right. Karen is with us, a West Texas girl, just like me.
He can't take the high horse and then claim the low road.
That this Thursday, ticket counters and airplanes will fly out of Ronald Reagan Airport.
I think if you know what you believe, it makes it a lot easier to answer questions. I can't answer your
Ah, yes. Ticket counters and airplanes will fly out of Ronald Reagan National Airport. I prefer to call it national. I go in there several times a year, and I don't call it Reagan National like a lot of people do. It's National Airport. That's what it's always been. There's been Dulles, and there's been National, and that's all. And by the way, if you are going to Washington, just a tip to the wise, you might sometimes find a ticket cheaper to go to Washington if you're not familiar with that. You might find a cheaper ticket to go to Dulles. And you go, whoa, good, I'll snap that one up. Keep in mind the $50 taxi ride each way from Dulles into town. Do keep that in mind. that evens things up in a hurry, and usually end up on the short end of that stick. Yeah, you know, we had Rick Perlstein on just a minute ago, and he was talking about how Karl Rove goes through people's garbage and so forth, and as he's making his way up the line there on the Republican gravy train. And he did. He put out 1,000 invitations to the opening reception for that Dixon headquarters, promising free beer, free food, girls, and a good time for nothing, and distributed them where all Chicago's hippies and drunken hobos. What a party. And, of course, that did get him noticed. That'll get you noticed in the Republican Party. And the rest is history. He's worked his way up to the top, and now he, God only knows why the guy's getting out of there. I must admit, I'm a bit confused by it. I didn't expect it. I thought he's one guy that would stay on until the bitter end, unless he got indicted, and chances are about him getting indicted pretty slim, unless Jack Abramoff does come through. And I wonder how many of you think so. I think Jack Abramoff perhaps is not the kind of guy that's going to sit in prison too long and take one for the Gipper. I don't think so. I think Scooter might have done it. But Abramoff, I think he's the kind of guy that's going to sing. He's going to save his own ass no matter what. And I have to think he's been singing plenty to the feds. And where Karl Rove is concerned, we will find out. But I don't know. The guy's pretty doggone slippery. And it's going to be hard to pin anything on him. Of course, the Democrats really never laid a glove on him, all the things. And we heard, you know, all through the Valerie Plame issue, oh, he's going to get indicted. Jason Leopold actually came out with an article that he knew he was going to get indicted the next day, and it turned out to be completely wrong. I mean, he might have had a good idea he was going to get indicted, but you don't print an article not knowing for sure. And Leopold took that chance and was dead wrong. And I think Rove testified, what was it, 5 times in front of the grand jury? I think Fitzgerald was overly fair to him and letting him get his story straight. Testified 5 times, and that is a rarity. Let me know if you know of anybody else testifying 5 times in front of a special counsel and a grand jury over one issue like this. I can't think of another time. It's highly unusual, and I have to think that Fitzgerald gave him every break in the book. Just like Leahy recently is allowing Gonzo to come back. So I'm going to give you several days to come back and get your story straight. And by the way, whatever came of that, didn't he give him just 12 hours to come back and get his story straight, and then he gave him 12 days, I believe it was, to get his story straight? Are the 12 days up yet? I don't know. But as usual, the committees from the House and the Senate have proven to be pretty doggone toothless. They've taken all this testimony from God only knows how many witnesses, and really and truly, other than maybe a little bit of embarrassment, they've done nothing to Gonzalez. In fact, he's got more. They just embarrassed themselves by voting him more power than he's ever had before. On the one hand, excoriating for him for being a liar, excoriating him for being incompetent, dressing him down on TV one time after another, and then doing the ultimate humiliation to themselves by granting the man more power than he's ever had before. Unbelievable. Not feeling really good about the new Democratic Congress. And they're not new anymore. I should stop calling them that. They're not new anymore. They are experienced. They've had the majority for some time now. They've certainly had the majority for long enough to get something done, something more than they have gotten done. Oh, yes, we got a little bit of a increase in the minimum wage. What else? Not a whole lot more. Not a whole lot. In fact, they've had it shoved in their face one time after another by the Republicans who, for my money, may not have the majority but still hold the power in the United States Congress and have backed up Bush on everything he's done. And now, as I mentioned, we're starting to see a little story here and a little story there. Well, yeah, you know, that surge is really working. That surge is really working. And we know damn well that Petraeus is going to come home next month and tell us that things are wine and roses. Maybe not wine and roses, but at least the wine. The roses will come later. Just give me a chance. Give me a chance. Give me another 6 months. Give me another year. Give me another $100 billion, $60 billion, whatever it is. Just give me that, and I'll make sure that I win this thing for you somehow. That's what Petraeus is going to come home and say, mark my word. He will not come home and say, things are tough, and I don't know. He won't. He's going to go home, and he's going to come home. He's going to paint a picture and cause the Blue Dog Democrats to go along with him. And therefore, Mr. Bush will keep his war. Mark my word, he will keep his war. And nothing Hillary Clinton or Obama or anybody else says will stop it. He will keep his war, and the Blue Dog Democrats from the South will make sure he does. That'll give him the majority on the Republican side. And all Petraeus has got to do is come home and ask for more time and more money, and he will get it. And therefore, and that'll put a big smile on George W. Bush's face, because then he will think, well, maybe I can still salvage my legacy after all. The question is, do you think that George Bush knows that his legacy is gone, flushed down the toilet? Or do you think that he really believes in his heart of heart that he can salvage it somehow? I wonder. I've often accused him of being incredibly stupid, and I'll stick by that. But can he be so stupid as to think that his legacy can be salvaged? That someday the historians are going to sit down and write glowing remarks about George W. Bush, about how he started this war on terror in the Middle East and cleaned it all out of there, and therefore the world is a much better place, and us and our kids and grandkids can all live happily ever after because of the heroics and the courage of Mr. George Jr. W. Bush. Do you think he really believes that? I wonder. Sometimes I think he does. If he does, that's a pretty scary proposition, don't you think? Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head on Radio Network. Can't talk today. Billy Shears, music director. Want to wish Billy well, and he'll be back in the saddle again real soon. So we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. America's largest toy maker, Mattel Toys, has issued a recall of 9 million Chinese-made toys because of potential hazards to children. The toys affected have small magnets which can be swallowed and contain lead paint. This is the second recall of Chinese-made toys in the last 2 weeks. 80% of the toys worldwide are made in China. 16,000 U.S. and Iraqi troops launched another major offensive today in Diyala province, targeting Al-Qaeda elements.
Every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Tropical Storm Dean in the Atlantic Basin is expected to become the first storm of the Atlantic hurricane season this year. Forecasters say Dean should reach hurricane strength by the weekend as it nears the Windward and Leeward Islands and Puerto Rico. Researchers at the New York Institute say they've invented a paper-thin battery that can be cut with scissors and bent into shapes. Scientists say the batteries would be used in electronics, which require small and light power sources. Canadian scientists have developed a safe and effective vaccine to treat multiple sclerosis. The vaccine, still in its experimental phase, will now move into stage 2 trials. MS affects 400,000 people nationwide. CBS Radio has reached a settlement with controversial radio talk show host Dime Imus, who was suing the broadcast company for breach of contract. The settlement will pay $20 million and will avoid the $120 million suit threatened by Imus, who is currently in negotiations with WABC for another radio show. Walmart reported a higher quarterly profit on earnings of $3.1 billion. The world's largest retailer cut prices by as much as 50% in its U.S. markets to attract shoppers for its back-to-school season. And Time magazine circulation numbers have dropped 17% from this time last year. The declining numbers allows its closest competitor, Newsweek, to close the gap between the two. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.82 a barrel. This is the Quality News Network, where you can always find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show. Thunder and lightning outside the studio today. So, internet broadcasting being what it is, don't be surprised if we're not here in a moment or two. Lots of thunder and lightning. Did you know that nearby here, a city named Cape Coral, Florida, which isn't all that far from here, as the crow flies, probably, 7 miles? I'm not sure, something like that. The lightning capital of the world. Supposedly, that's what they put in a local paper here the other day. More lightning in Cape Coral, Florida than any place else on the planet. Now, I'm not so sure if they said on the planet or if they said in the United States. One or the other. Anyway, it's a hell of a lot of lightning. Welcome to the show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I'm a little bit under the weather today, but we'll try and keep things going. We discussed Karl Rove in the first hour. If you'd like to give us a call, please do. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And we'd love to hear from you during the show here today. And on the chat room, people are saying that that possibly there's a streaming problem. Somebody on the chat room, let me know. Is there really a streaming problem, or is that just your computer? I'd like to find that out for sure. Seems like everything looks hunky-dory here in the studio. guess we'll have to just hope that everything's all right. Seems like it is anyway. Here, all the dials and gauges and buttons and everything seem to be working just fine. Noticed an interesting story about Dickie Boy Cheney. He's constantly talking about how deficits don't matter and all that, about the national debt doesn't matter and all that. Dick Cheney, it seems, has taken a lot of his money and put it somewhere else. Said he's betting on bad news, and he's socked away more than $25 million. And he's invested heavily in a fund that specializes in short-term municipal bonds, a tax-exempt money market fund, and an inflation-protected securities fund. The first two of those hold up if interest rates rise with inflation, and the third is protected against inflation. And Cheney has dumped another estimated $10 to $25 million in a European bond fund, which tells us that he is counting on a steadily weakening dollar. Is that kind of like the same as insider trading, wouldn't you think, of the vice president's doing that? So while the working class Americans are losing ground to inflation and rising energy costs, here we've got Dickie Cheney. He's going to be enhancing his portfolio in old Europe, as he liked to call them. While the economy may be bad for a lot of people, it's not bad for Dickie Cheney and people of his ilk, for sure. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to give us a call here on the program. We wanted to talk a little bit about the war today. We always do. It's kind of hard to ignore the toughest thing going on in our time. And we're nothing if not fair on this program. And so before I talk about the what I think is the coming humiliation and defeat for our country in Iraq, and call me what you will over that, if I think we're going to end up having a defeat there, that's what I think. It doesn't make me unpatriotic. That doesn't make me anti-American, un-American, doom and gloomer or cut and runner or anything like that. A defeat is a defeat, and it's no different what you're doing in sports, a war, whatever. When you're beat, you're beat. And I want to give credit where credit's due. We'll get into the current and past reasons for our occupations of Iraq in a minute. But first, let's take a look at some of the glaring failures, the utter stupidity, if you will, of this occupation from day one, from the very first day, disbanding the Iraqi army. Whose idea was that? I think it was Rumsfeld, perhaps. It was a totally moronic idea. And the attempt by Rumsfeld and Douglas Feith and Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney and who else? Bill Kristol, to install Ahmad Shalabi as head of the Iraqi government was as foolish a move as any tribe of complete morons ever proposed, in my opinion. He was a crook. As it turns out, he was an Iranian spy. He was being paid a ton of money by our government. What was it? Like $360,000 a month? It was some unbelievable amount of money they were paying him. He supplied false and misleading information to us. And he's the guy that's responsible for pushing the guy called Curveball on the Pentagon that gave him all the false information. They got rid of all the Baathists. Many of them were university professors, grade school teachers, doctors, nurses. And as always is the case in something like that, many, if not most of them, belonged to that Baathist party because it was a way to work in Iraq and not be harassed by Saddam Hussein. And the looting that took place early on. You all remember the pictures of that. Unbelievable. That huge stockpiles of weapons and munitions were allowed to be plundered and pillaged by whomever had a pickup truck or a wheelbarrow or anything to carry off all the explosive and arms that they could carry to use later on to wreak havoc on our troops. And we have that idiot Rumsfeld saying, well, that happens. And by the way, I talked to somebody the other day that said they ran into Donald Rumsfeld recently in Washington, D.C., that it looks like he's aged 20 years, that people were helping him on and off an elevator, holding on to his arm. So maybe he got something wrong. I don't know. But, you know, after all that looting, Rumsfeld said, well, you know, that happens in war. I wonder how many parents of the dead American soldiers killed by those stolen and plundered arms and munitions were satisfied with Rumsfeld's answer over that. It happens. And when our military was directed to pound their way through the heavily populated residential neighborhoods, killing scores of innocent Iraqis, it fueled hatred towards the United States that will probably never be forgotten in that part of the world. It didn't have to be that way. And all that's bad enough, but still, it's not the reason this whole campaign went awry. It never, never had a chance. Never. And as we all know now, anyone who had any knowledge of the Middle East knew that this whole thing wasn't going to work. There were literally scores of people living in this country and other places around the world who had a vast, intimate knowledge of the history of that area who knew that this was an ill-conceived venture. But were they consulted? No. They listened to Shalabi and Kirkpal instead. And the phony information being ginned up by the CIA because Cheney was out there pounding them into submission. Other than the likes of Shalabi and Kirkpal, were any reliable Middle East experts consulted as to the probable outcome of such a military exercise and subsequent occupation? And I think, of course, you know the answer to that is absolutely no. Instead, the Bush administration relied upon the same sorry group of self-serving right-wing neocon intellectuals who to this day will not accept the fact that they were absolutely, positively wrong on almost every one of their predictions as to the outcome of Bush's Iraq adventure. Bill Kristol, Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, Thomas Friedman, the Kagans, Dick Cheney, an army of right-wing war hawks and their mouthpieces like Limbaugh and Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Ann Coulter, literally dozens of them, they were all completely wrong on all counts on this. There were no weapons of mass destruction. There was never a chance that we would plant our style of democracy in Iraq and have it spread like ivy into the neighboring countries like they led us to believe that it was going to happen. There was never a chance that displacing Saddam Hussein would bring the neighboring states into line with the political will of the United States. And there was never a chance that our invasion of Iraq would be any kind of a meaningful step in Bush's so-called war on terror. There was never a chance for anything to work. There was, however, and I think most of us knew it, and fully realize it, there was every indication that there would be chaos. There was every indication that Iraq as a country would be forever fractured into several pieces. I think we all knew that. It was spelled out. The Kurds controlling the north, the Shiites controlling the south, and central Iraq becoming a perpetual battleground, which it is. There was every indication that this ill-conceived venture would empower Iran and that Russia and China would sit back and watch as our influence and our power in the world was drastically diminished. Russia had a stake in this because of the way we conducted ourselves during their foray into Afghanistan. So they watched with glee while this was going on. And although, in my opinion, it was a blunder of major proportions, We have to face the fact that governments are fallible. The United States government is fallible, and it makes mistakes, and it makes big mistakes. And what really boggles the mind is the fact that although the huge mistakes of this administration regarding Iraq and the Middle East are front and center of the world stage, we apparently have not learned a damn thing from those mistakes. The same people who swore they knew we were doing the right thing by invading Iraq are being allowed to dig us in even deeper. It's that failure to learn from our mistakes that's really hard for me to accept. You know, when you stop and think about it, it'd be kind of like having Herbert Hoover come back and take command of running the economy of this country, or maybe having, getting the captain, if it were possible, of the Titanic to take another ship through waters full of icebergs. That's what we're faced with. We've got the same clowns throwing advice at the White House, consulting. We've got Dick Cheney still in there. We've got Bill Kristol getting his 2 cents worth in all the time. And the Kagans and the Friedmans. And they're still being listened to. And for the love of Mike, I cannot understand that. Can you? You've got somebody that, let's say you got a broker. Let's say you actually had some money and you could afford to play the stock market. I know. To a lot of you, that's just a joke. But let's say you could play the stock market, and you got this broker, and this broker, investment broker, gave you one piece of bad advice after another. He went on for several years and gave you nothing but bad advice, and you'd lost your ass on the stock market. Would you go back to the guy for more? Isn't that what's happening here now? We have the same people that got us into this mess telling us, "Oh, don't worry, we'll fix it." Should we stand for that? Is it believable? I don't think so. It isn't to me anyway. And yes, it's fascinating to me that a decent percentage, at least, of the American public is willing to give their trust to these people once again, particularly people of the Republican persuasion. And say, yeah, we'll trust these guys to fix this. We still have faith. What is it, 26? I heard it went up. I heard Bush is over 30% in one of the polls now. And somebody on the chat room, Lillo in the chat room, said, would another one be a doctor? Yeah, you go get an operation, and the guy does an appendectomy and ends up sewing your left foot to the incision on your stomach. I mean, would you go back? Would you? I don't think you would, and yet we've got the same group of clowns still giving advice, and Bushy boy still listening, and thinking we're going to come out of this thing smelling like a rose after all. I just don't think that's going to happen. Hope it does, but I think you're going to see Petraeus come to town in another month. I don't know what date in September he's coming. I hope it's early in September. And he's going to give this rosy old picture of how everything is just dandy. He won't say it's just dandy, but he'll tell us how it's getting a lot better. It's getting a lot better. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. And if you'd like to give us a call, please do so. 866-546-5254.
There's a name for war and killing. And there's a name for giving in when you know another answer. For me, the name is sin. But there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give another name to living. We could call it peace. And peace would be the road we walk each step along the way. Peace would be the way we work and peace the way we play. And in all we see that's different, and all the things we know, peace would be the way we look. Peace the way we grow. There's a name for separation. There's a name for first and last, when it's all of us or nothing. For me, the name is past. But there's still time to turn around, make all hatred cease, and give a name to all the future. We could call it peace. And if peace is what we pray for, and if peace is what we give, then peace will be the way we are, and peace the way we live. For there still is time to turn around and make all hatred cease, and give another name to living. We could call it peace. 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 Last night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty and the room was filled with men. And the paper they were signing said they'd never fight again. And when the paper was all signed and a million copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads. Grateful prayers were prayed. And the people in the streets below were dancing round and round. And guns and swords and the fort were scattered on the ground. Sing it with me. Last night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all the greed to put an end. Sing it again. Last night I had the strangest dream I'd ever dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed the world had all put an end to war.
Seeger, what country comes to mind when you hear this? The government illegally spies on civilians, produces phony news reports. People are imprisoned without charge or access to a lawyer. Prisoners are tortured and killed, and an illegal war launched on the basis of lies in which illegal weapons are used against civilians, against journalists and hospitals. Unfortunately, the United States government is behind these actions. Fortunately, our Constitution has a remedy. It's called impeachment. Ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Happy to have all of you along with us here today. Lazy, hazy dog days of summer. Why do they call them dog days anyway? I don't know. But it's a quiet, hot time here in South Florida right now. And I guess I like the quiet part. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to call the program today. We'd love to hear from you. I ran across a funny story. It's so funny to a Georgia woman, but I often talk about how stupid I think that our president is, and I do. And I don't say that to disparage him or anything. It's just a plain, cold, hard truth. You've heard him speak many, many times, so he makes the point far better than I ever could. But and so I do talk about him being not all that smart, but I think he's smarter than this Georgia woman. A Georgia woman was arrested on drug possession charges last week after she called police to complain about the quality of crack cocaine she had just purchased. Police in the town of Rochelle, Georgia, say 53-year-old Juanita Jones bought what she thought was a $20 rock of crack cocaine, but discovered it was fake when she broke it into three pieces and smoked one. I wonder how she, not knowing anything about rock cocaine, I wonder, okay. Anyway, when police arrived at her home, Jones showed officer the drugs and was promptly placed under arrest. Man, I'll tell you, that's some indictment about this country, and it makes you wonder what this country's coming to. First, it was tainted toothpaste imported from China, and now you can't even trust the crack you buy out on the street. What is this country coming to? She should have called the Better Business Bureau, got them after these dishonest crack dealers, and put the bad rap on them there. Man, she actually called the cops and told them they should have charged her with first-degree felony stupidity, I think. 866-546-5254. I'd love to have you join us here on the Guy James Show today. We've been talking about a little bit of everything today, about Mr. Bush, and you've all heard by now, I'm sure, one of the saddest stories I think that I've read in a long time. Sad, number one, for the family of this gentleman, and number two, sad that there are Americans claiming to be religious, claiming to be Christian, and yet this thing happened. A mega church, where else? In Texas. I'm sorry. I say that about Texas, but I think you know what I'm saying. So it seems like so many of this stuff, the recent dragging of this young girl at this boot camp in Texas, dragging her behind a bus or whatever it was because she wouldn't follow orders, and this, and the whole damn gang in Washington, D.C. from Texas right now. But a mega church in Texas canceled a memorial service for a Navy veteran 24 hours before it was going to start because they found out the deceased guy was gay. And this was done by officials at the non-denominational High Point Church. They said they knew that Cecil Howard Sinclair was gay when they offered to host the service, said his sister. But after his obituary listed his life partner as one of his survivors, she said, the church called it off. Said it's a slap in the face of saying like, oh, we're sorry he died, but he's gay, so we can't help you. Wright said High Point offered to hold the service for Sinclair because their brother is a janitor there. Imagine this. He's an employee of this church, and they were going to hold the funeral. He served in the First Gulf War. He died Monday at age 46 from an infection after surgery to prepare him for a heart transplant. And the church's pastor, the Reverend Gary Simon, said no one knew Sinclair, who was not a church member, was gay until the day before the Thursday service, when staff members putting together his video tribute saw pictures of men engaging in clear affection, kissing, and embracing. Simon said the church believes homosexuality is a sin, and it would have appeared to endorse that lifestyle if the service had been held there. Well, of course, we would not want to defile the church and have a funeral for a gay man in it. Now, would we? The idea that these people call themselves Christians is an abomination to me. The idea that they could call themselves members of any religious organization that believe in God, that believe in a higher authority, and have some tenets of goodness and mercy in their hearts as the basic tenets of their churches, as all religions do. The idea that these people could claim an affiliation of any kind with any group that professes to love their neighbor. Oh my God. It's just indecent. It is indecent. Oh, the church, he said, promised to pay for another site for the service. The church official said, even though we could not condone that lifestyle, we went above and beyond for the family through many acts of love and kindness. The 5,000-member High Point Church was founded in 2000 by Simons and his wife, April, whose brother, by the way, is Joel Olstein, well-known pastor of the 38,000-member Lakewood Church in Houston. And now the High Point Church meets in the 432,000-square-foot facility in Arlington near Dallas. Well, a pox on your house. And I will say this, and I may be chastised for saying it. They can call that High Point a church. They can call it whatever they want to. But that is no house of God. That is no house of any kind of God that I know of. Their phony righteousness, their bigotry, and yes, their hatred. The story just disgusts me. Absolutely disgusts me. I said, oh, but we love the family. Yeah. They sure do. Cancel the man's funeral 24 hours ahead of time, and sure is a fine way of showing love for that family. Oh my God. 866-546-5254. Sometimes it makes you ashamed to be a human being, doesn't it? When you know that there are other people, that there are people on this planet that of your same species that behave in that way. Can you, and I try this. I try my best to put myself in people's position and be able to argue their point. And yet somehow when it comes to something like this, I can't do it. I can't possibly conceive of being a pastor of that church, calling myself a pastor, calling myself a man of God, and going to that family and telling them you couldn't have the service in the church because he's gay? And then getting down on your knees and praying to God. My mother always used to say, and a lot of people did, say something about, you know, along the lines of God striking people dead for their transgressions. If that in fact happens, were I that pastor of that High Point Church, I'd be looking over my shoulder for a while. Because the man is no Christian. He's not even human, as far as I'm concerned. He doesn't have any of the emotions and feelings of a decent human being. I guess I should leave that story alone for now. I just get angry when I talk about things like that. I really do. I don't understand. I don't understand that kind of hatred. I don't think I ever will. And I don't think my listeners, I don't think most of you understand that kind of hatred either. We'll be back in a few minutes, a couple of minutes.
I could smile for a while. Then I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight. When you stopped to say hello, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that that I was over you, but it's true, so true. I love you even more than I did before, but darling, what can I do?
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Golden slumbers fill your eyes. Smiles awake you when you rise. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Once there was a way. Get back home. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Ah, my. I'm the kind of person that gets emotional over music. And that song is just incredibly beautiful. Eva Cassidy and Jackson Browne, called Golden Slumber. Fantastic piece of music. Really, both the music and the lyrics touch the heart. A rare beauty in a song. So much trash being put out on the market today, and I sound like an older person when I'm saying that, but there's so much trash on the market today with the, in the music business, that it's wonderful to come across something like that. Of course, that's not a new song, but it is quite beautiful. And Katie Lang and the great Roy Orbison before that, and Crying, one of the great songs of all time, in my opinion. I'm sure we've all got our favorite songs. I've certainly have plenty of them. Are you like me, that you have a broad, broad scope of music that you like? I like so many kinds of music. It may surprise a lot of you to know that my first love in music is classical. I do love classical music. I've studied classical music, and I do love it. It is my favorite. It's what I listen to the most. I love good folk music. Oh, do I? As you all know, I love John Denver and all the great folk. Peter, Paul, and Mary. God, I love Peter, Paul, and Mary. Woody Guthrie. Bob Dylan. All those people. What else? I don't like the rap. I don't like that at all. Drives me up the wall. Can't stand to listen to it. Got nothing to do with any ethnicity or anything of that kind. I just hate it. Don't really know why they call it music, but that's my opinion. That's why there's lots of different kinds of classic of music. Something for everybody. But I like most. I can adapt to most anything, but the rap, I don't know. It kind of messes up my head a little bit. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I was just cutting down Texas a few minutes ago, and you know they've got a pledge in Texas. I never knew this. I just ran across this week. But a pledge of allegiance to thee, Texas, under God, one and indivisible. A pledge of allegiance to thee, Texas, under God and one. God, one and indivisible. Well, well, well. And the Okies, the good old Oklahomans. If you want to show that you're a true patriot that despises the Islamo-fascist, as they like to call them, you don't want to do much about it, but maybe you can spend $37 and dedicate your license plate in Oklahoma to a political slogan. That's right, and this is out of the USA Today. For Sooners, that's the Okies, looking to show their terror-fighting pride while tearing up the asphalt, the Oklahoma Tax Commission has extended the deadline to order the Global War on Terror license plate. Man, oh man, wouldn't you love to get... And officials had set a May 31st deadline for the $37 vanity plate, but... The orders were coming in so fast and furious, they just had to extend it. They have, and now get this, in the state of Oklahoma, they have 145 specialty plates to choose from. God, I think Florida's only got about 60, which is 55 too many. 145 specialty license plates in Oklahoma. I wonder if they've got like an Anna Nicole Smith plate or a Paris Hilton plate or... Or John Bonet Ramsey plate, or maybe a Pat Tillman plate, or a Scooby Scooter Libby plate. Surely they have one for Jerry Falwell. They wouldn't want to leave out old Jerry now, would they? And certainly they must have an Oral Roberts plate. After all, good old ORU's in Tulsa. Isn't it in Tulsa? I think it is. So I know everybody want to line up and get one of those. Let's head on over to the telephone, see who's with us. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, your Northern California fan club up here.
Hi, Dave.
I was going to update you a bit on how our elections thing is going here in California. We got a real good Secretary of State, Deborah Bowen. She's been trying to make whatever changes would be necessary to make elections honest in our state, and it's a big one. A lot of votes come out of the state. And she had to do it within 6 months of the upcoming primaries, and so she went to the last, and right 11:45 p.m., she held her press conference, and she made all the modifications that she felt she could. Those voting machine companies that were not cooperative were decertified, and those that had agreed to cooperate, and I think by that she was requiring that they, one, provide the source codes, two, that they remove any modem so they could not be accessed from outside the machine. And she did a lot of good stuff. Some of us are still suspicious. If you know what you're doing, you can make a computer do damn near anything. But anyway, that has happened. So it just may be that the California votes will be counted as they were made.
Well, I do declare that is good news. More states would... of course, you've got some other disturbing news in California about how they're thinking about splitting up the electoral votes.
That's correct. This has been a winner-take-all state, and it's blue. And there is a few red counties. We have Orange and San Diego counties that usually can be counted on to go red, or at least with their machines they've gone red. I don't know. They've elected some Democrats in both areas. And in fact, I think they elected another one that the machine flipped it and put the Republican in.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the state of North Carolina is the other state thinking about splitting up their electoral votes. And, of course, they don't have that many, so it wouldn't make a difference. But in California, that could be very significant. So the Democrats are encouraging the Democrats in North Carolina to not go along with that. We'll see how that turns out, but that could be a very, very significant thing. I mean, that'd be like adding a couple of more red states by lightning?
It is in some here in California. Like we have, L.A. County is bigger than, I think, the population of, more than two-thirds of the states or something.
Well, you know, if one state's got to do it, they should all do it. That's the thing. I mean, that's the only way it would be fair. It would not be fair for one or two states to do it. Of course, I think there are a couple that do a little bit of that already. But the fair thing to do would be have all states do it and see how that works out.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. And thanks.
Always a pleasure. You do a wonderful thing.
Thanks for the update.
Bye-bye.
Good. Glad those people in California are seeing the light on these voting machines. Speaking of seeing the light, are you all happy with your particular senators and representatives? I am not. And I let them know, and I know many of you do as well. Our senator here in Florida, of course, we got Mel Martinez, a Republican. And I have Bill Nelson as a Democrat as my senator, former astronaut Bill Nelson, and he claims to be a Democrat. And we had this latest Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and the Democrats, as far as I'm concerned, caved on it. You know my opinion about that. And I wasn't surprised to find that Florida Senator Bill Nelson voted in favor of it. He's cast several votes that were hostile to the Constitution and on bended knee to the Bush administration. And I don't know why. I mean, I can only guess he's been promised I don't know what, but he's not up for re-election until 2012. But he's really, to be fair about it, he's nothing more than a Republican in sheep's clothing, and he's very quiet about it, and he seems to very consistently vote to support this Bush administration. And I was very disturbed and surprised to see that Jim Webb, the newly elected senator from Virginia, had voted for that amendment as well. I didn't think he'd do it. And I'm going to give him a chance because he's new and hadn't had that many votes yet. So I'm going to withhold judgment on him. I'll allow him one mistake there. Of course, I don't get to vote on him anyway, but the last vestiges of Democratic rule are slipping away, and of all the things in the bill, it gives this unbridled power to Alberto Gonzalez, a man who has called the Constitution, as you well know, and you've heard it many times, it's said on this program, he called the Constitution a quaint document, and he is a guy that wouldn't know the truth if it bit him in the ass, and now they can put surveillance on anybody they want to. And does anybody doubt that they'll use this new law any way they want to? For good, for bad, for their own political purposes, they will use it any way they want to. Do remember Tom DeLay trying to pull that on the Texas legislators who fled the state to revolt against a vote, and he called out Homeland Security on them. You remember that? Well, that's what these people will do. And who wants to place a bet? And I'll place a bet right now that the Democrats will do another laydown when Petraeus comes home and give his report. And Harry Reid is going to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, we'll give you another 6 months. And he'll come before all the Democrats and say, no, I didn't want to, but, you know. They'll get down on their knees again to the Bush administration. Mark my word, they will. You know they will. Well, I was going to give out the phone number again, but it's a... I'll do a quickie call here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Yes?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. We have to keep it short. You just got a moment or two.
Okay. I didn't realize I was on the air.
Yes.
Alberto has come up with, there's new regulations coming in that are going to be put in place that will give Alberto Gonzalez control over, quote, fast-tracking death penalty cases.
Hmm.
It's an article that appeared in the LA Times. This is Susan in Columbia City, by the way. It's just been put up on the blog at the Head On Radio Network's main page. It's frightening. I wouldn't trust the fate of a run-over dog to this.
Yeah, of all people to have that power. of all people, somebody that's not trustworthy. I mean, that's pretty incredible that they'd let a guy like that have that power. Really amazing.
Yeah, it's appalling. I just thought you might want to know, and your listeners would want to know, this is just another more power grab.
Yeah.
They want more.
Well, we'll try and discuss a little more tomorrow.
Okay.
Thanks for letting us know.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, of all the guys you'd want making rulings on the death penalty by Gonzo, he's one of them, right? I wouldn't want him deciding anything for me. First of all, he's a bozo. Doesn't seem to have the sense he was born with. And he's just not trustworthy. And I know the idea of having an attorney general of the United States is not trustworthy is just an abomination to everybody. It certainly is to me. Of all the offices in the country you'd want somebody honest in, that ought to be it. But, well, not right now. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director. Stay tuned for good programming the rest of the evening here on the Guy James Show. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.